السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي, يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, شعبان شهري ورمضان شهر الله, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear friends, we start today's discussion with the following point. If my information is correct, then the birth of the moon of Shaban took place this morning around 10 o'clock. Thus, the time between now and sunset is so short, experience says that we may not see the moon. Experience, it means its place, but we are commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of every month, at the end of 29 days, search, scan the sky and search for the moon. So thus we follow the sunnah tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and scan the sky to see the moon. However, as like I said, experience says we may not see, but still see it. At least inshallah you get the sawab for following the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, if the moon is not sighted, then tomorrow evening when the sun goes down, then we enter into the month of Shaban. Shaban is a very, very important month. Allah Nabi himself says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, there is a month in the Islamic calendar that comes between Ramadan and Rajab, and people are generally unaware of the importance of that particular month, and the name of that month he refers to as Shaban. So inshallah, I'll spend a few minutes on the value and the importance of this particular month, and inshallah, if time permits, I'll share some other information as well. Now, when we look at the behavior and the pattern of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the month of Shaban, first thing we find him saying, ke Shaban wa shahri wa Ramadan wa shahr Allah, simple meaning, ke Shaban is my month and Ramadan is the month of Allah. Recently we had a very great personality in our country, Dr. Muhammad Sabir Sahab Damat Barakatum, and I was there at the Grand Road Masjid when he discussed in the very first bayan, and in fact he started the bayan with a dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa balighna Ramadan tawiyah. Either we are on the last day or the last 2 days of the month of Rajab. And since he was in the early part of Rajab, he said it was Nabi Sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when Rajab entered, he used to make dua, ke Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab. Oh Allah, give us barakat in the month of Rajab and also in the month of Shaban, and take us safely into the month of Ramadan. So we still have a day or two to make the dua. Then he says that the importance of that particular dua was that since the month of Ramadan is that great month of Allah, the most honorable month of Allah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the ummah, the muslimah, many favors, the gifts and the bounties that are contained there. Inshallah, that discussion will be in Ramadan itself. But he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that month specifically for his devotion, and there are great values and ni'mats. And a Musliman has to look forward to that particular month. So in that dua, he is highlighting the fact that none of us know whether we shall make it. Before Ramadan comes Shaban, Shaban got its own kind of blessing. And before Shaban comes Rajab, Rajab also got its own blessings. Now no one knows whether we shall make it to the month of Ramadan. So he used to make the dua, ke Allah, give us barakat in this month, give us barakat in the month of Shaban, and then take us safely to the month of Ramadan. And you will agree with me, when you look around us, we will find many of our brethren and sisters who were with us last year at this time, they are no longer with us. So thus, it's important that since we don't know what our fate will be, we have to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, give us barakat in the tomb and take us into the month of Ramadan so that we may enjoy your bounties and your blessings which you are going to shower down on the entire ummah, the Muslimah. Then he said something else. He says, you know, Ramadan has got a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The term is, wa Ramadanu shahrullah. Now when something gets connection with something or somebody, then depending on the personality, then the value of that particular object rises up. He says, take for example, Baytullah, Kaaba. Ji? Baytullah. Bayt means house. Baytullah, house of Allah. You have your house, I have my house. Compare the two houses, what a difference. Now, the value of our house is totally insignificant when it's compared to that which is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Baytullah has got that great importance and significance because of that connection it has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, you know the rule. Okay, anyone who performs any kind of neki in the haram of Makkah Mu'azzama, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises that those actions of yours will be multiplied by 100,000. The similar action you may perform outside, the value is one. So he says, in like manner, Ramadan Sharif has got the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have learned this and you learn in the Ramadan Bayan as well. Okay, anything done in the month of Ramadan, the value of that goes very, very high. In the same line, from the hadith quoted, Shaban ushahri wa Ramadan usharullah. Shaban is my month. Now after the darja of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes the martaba and status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he is saying Shaban is my month, which means now Shaban has got some attachment with him. So thus we find that this month has got that importance simply because of the attachment. Now we have to look at the Nabi's behavior in that particular month of Shaban, what he used to do. And the best people to inform us regarding his conduct in Shaban are of course the people of the house. Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, others, they tell us that when we looked at the Nabi's conduct sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Shaban, we found him fasting throughout the entire month of Shaban, joining with Ramadan 2 months in a row. And we never saw him doing so like this in any other month. That means Shaban, the roza used to be continuous. This was his behavior and conduct. And then she says another very important thing, which is very unusual. She says, my Ramadan qaza. My Ramadan qaza, the 7-8 days or so, which was on my head. She says, I was supposed to keep it in Shawwal straight away. But she says, out of fear, since it was the Nabi's practice sallallahu alaihi wasallam to visit all the mothers every day, he had his turns, as you all know, right? But in the daytime, he made sure he went to make salam to the whole lot. So she says, I used to be afraid. Perchance, if he comes to my house and he requires me and I'm not available simply because I am fasting. Out of this fear, she says, I used to postpone my fast and wait for that time when I'm sure that he is now in a state of fasting himself. Thus, he will have no need for me. So she says, I used to wait for the month of Shaban. When Shaban used to come, I used to keep qaza. You will learn something here as well. That special affinity, the lihaz, the azmat, the respect, the consideration which these people had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will put themselves behind and they used to give him precedence. This was the very nature of every Ashabun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their devotion is beyond question. You look at their lives, their devotion, their dedication is beyond question. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the highest martaba and status by declaring in one state of their lives, ke all of you are radiyallahu anhum waradu an, ke O ashabun nabi, because of your conduct, because of your behavior, because of your loyalty, because of your devotion to both myself and my beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu sallam, I bestow upon you the honor of radiyallahu anhum waradu an. So this was Bibi Aisha's attitude towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to this. Now she says, one day I asked him, ke ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it that prompts you to give so much of emphasis in roza in this month? Now this was in the early days we're referring to. Afterwards he made very, very clear. So he said to her, ke ya Aisha, do you know ke in this month of Shaban, two things happen among many things. One, the book of deeds, they close. Old book closes, new one opens. One. Two, the transfer of the name of the living from that book is transferred to the book of those who will die in the coming year. So he says, I want my transfer and I want the closing of my this book and that book must take place while I am in a state of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, then you have the 50 Shaban band. This is not the occasion for that. Let's go a bit further. We find from Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, very, very prominent sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he tells us, I was 10 years old when the Nabi came to Madinah Munawwara. My mother brought me and left him in his presence. And she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my son Anas. From now, he shall be your khadim. He shall be of service to you. He shall carry out every errand of yours. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, thus I spend the next 10 years of my life in the Mubarak company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as the years went by, she says, one day my mother came. And she said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my son has served with devotion. How nice it will be if you make dua in his favor. Allah. As a reward, make dua in his favor. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this policy. Anybody who came to him to make dua, he will make dua immediately. And of course, there were those rare occasions where he advised them to follow a particular formula or procedure, so that that can now become a means and a lesson for the ummah afterwards. If you have to resort to dua for some very, very important matter or issue, and if I am not around, then this is the method you must adopt. So he always made dua. And we find also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, difficult about percentage there, will suggest that almost every dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. Thinking of dua, I just thought of something, will come back again just now, inshallah. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, very prominent sahabi, whose dictation, whose narration of ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you have to collect them all together, search all the books of ahadith, we find his name appearing most of the time. An Abi Hurairata radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala qala Rasulullah. And when you put that together, you find over 5,000 ahadith directly attributed to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. He was a real devotee of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, there was one part of his life, very early part of the life, after he joined Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a devotee, but his mother is a direct opposite. She was a mushrika, anti-Islam, anti-Tawhid, anti-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So night and day she will condemn the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this son of hers, Abu Huraira, finds it very, very difficult. One side, he's got the devotion, loyalty to Allah's Nabi. On the other side, he is controlled by the fact that Allah Ta'ala says, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانَ. Now he is stuck between the two. He says, she is my mother. And Quran Sharif says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْيٌ. When your parents, both of them, either one reaches old age, and that's when they lose their temper, their short temper, a lot of things happen, and we lose our patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when there is that condition and stage, if for some reason they utter words of annoyance, you exercise extreme tolerance, not even the word oof must come out of your mouth. Now here it is not, there is no distinction, Musalman, mother different, or kafir, no, it applies to the whole lot across the board. Now he is torn between the Quranic injunction here, and loyalty to Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is getting torn. So one day he came, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my problem. My love for you in my heart is full. On the other side, I have to respect my mother after she is my mother, but she is a mushrika. And I have to face this difficulty every day. How nice it will be, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you pick up your hand and make dua. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give my mother hidayat. Allah. Abu Huraira says, radiallahu ta'ala, ke Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately picked up the hand and he said, Oh Allah, give hidayat to the mother of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira says, immediately after dua, I turned around, I walked out of the masjid, and thereafter, I am saying, turbocharge took off. Running towards his house at top speed, he'll put all the marathon guys in the dust. Another sahabi, friend, saw him running. Never saw Abu Huraira run in his entire life. Suddenly he's running, so he said, big mamla kya hai? So he chased after him, caught up with him. Abu Huraira, what's the emergency? Why hurry? He says, just stay out of my way. I am running home because I want to find out something very, very important. Now this person is not even more, so now they're running together. So while they're running together, he says, Okay, listen, my dear friend. Just now I asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua in favor of my mother's hidayat. Allah's Nabi made the dua. I am now running home to see who reaches the first. My reaching there or the dua of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Abu Huraira say radiyallahu ta'ala, the moment I entered the courtyard, as I approached the door, my mother heard the sound of my footsteps. On the other hand, I heard the sounds of water splashing. My mother called out, now, usually in the past when she used to call out, they used to be like that. You know that acidity in the voice, harshness. Today when she called my name, there was sweetness. So I knew straight away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His dua reached here before me. So we're looking at dua of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Anas radiyallahu ta'ala and says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Oh Allah, give barakat in the life of Anas. Oh Allah, give barakat in the rozi of Anas. Oh Allah, give barakat in the family of Anas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted all three. Anas radiyallahu ta'ala is narrating this particular incident at that time when he is 120 years old. We need now, with this age of ours, 45, 50, 60, thick glasses, etc., to thread the needle. His eyes were so sharp. He never suffered any kind of weakness in his entire body, including eyesight. Barakat in the umar. And of course, this is the ripe old age, 120. As far as the barakat of the rozi goes, he says, every farmer that had his plantation, the crops would appear once per annum. Mine was always twice per annum, double. And finally he says, the dua regarding the barakat of the awlad. Historians say when Anas radiyallahu ta'ala used to come for Umrah, he'll come with his entire family, wives, children, their children, their children. And when they used to make tawaf, they used to occupy the entire mataf area. This is the same Anas radiyallahu ta'ala. So this came in between. Now he is saying regarding the behavior of the Ashabun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to Shaban. So the objective here is for us to take some guideline from the behavior of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the devotees of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah must give us the same kind of attitude. Say Ameen. So he says this was the behavior of the Ashabun Nabi on the occasion of Shaban. He says that the moment the Shaban moon used to appear, the crescent is there, straight away the Sahaba used to get involved now in Quran tilawat. Not to say they were not reading before, unlike us. Our Quran don't even come out in Ramzan. The tilawat is regular. But now the Quran tilawat used to become even more intense. Every spare moment they have is now absorbed extra time in tilawat of Quran, in all in preparation for the welcoming of the month of Ramadan. Then he says, the general Muslims at large, now we're looking at Sahaba, we're looking at Tabi'in now. The general Muslim at large, those who were the zakat payers, will now work out their zakat and start the distribution of the zakat to poor and needy. And what was the objective? So that to prepare the masakin and the fuqara for the month of Ramadan. Now if we have to pause here for a moment, what is our policy? Is it nice to see our brothers and sisters going door to door in the month of Ramadan while they could be engaged in something more constructive? Is it nice? Not nice at all. So you can see the attitude here. Give them now, so Ramzan ke baad, Ramzan ke andar, kisi kisam ki fikhar na ho. This was the khubi. Then he goes on to say, the merchants. Now in trading you find always, you know, 30 days, 60s, what have you, that carries on all the time. Now we living in a different zamana, but take a lesson, those who are devotees. He says that the merchants, they used to now sort out their accounts. If they had to pay, they paid out all the debts. If they were on the receiving end, they made hisab to receive. And of course, if people could not pay, allowance was made. But this was the time when they used to do the auditing, we'll say, of the books, hisab or kitab, saf khalas. After that, when they complete with the zakat, while the tilawat is carrying on, and while they're busy with the payment and receiving, now the days are passing, the devotion is there, also other devotion, then they used to wait for the moon of Ramadan. The moment the Ramadan moon appears, you'll find them making ghusl and into the masjid, and they'll spend the entire Ramadan in i'tikaf. Now here is called pure devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as directed by Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala must give us topic. So the sabak we gather from here is, those of us who are able to implement whatever is here, we should try to do so, simply because the Ashabun Nabi followed that particular practice. And keep in mind, whatever the Ashabun Nabi had practiced was guided by Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was as a result of that kind of conduct that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them title radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu. That's a last but not least on the subject matter of Shaban. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes that the month of Shaban has got great nisbat with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I am now adding here, just as we are required to increase darood on Nabi on a Friday. There is a hadith that says, increase your darood upon me on a Friday. Now what does that mean? The other 6 days, we are duty bound to send regular darood. We may have a quota that we are used to be sending. On Friday, that quota has to be increased tremendously. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, since Shaban has got that attachment with the Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then besides the tilawat of the Quran, also increase your darood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we don't have the time to go in the detail of the fazail, I'm sure you are familiar. But simply put, basically put, Allah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ke man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashara. Ke one who sends darood upon me one time, Allah will return that 10 times. One hadith also says, ke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record in that person's favor 10 neki, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out 10 of his sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him elevation of 10 degrees. On the issue of darood, I just thought of something now quickly. One time I gave one talk, and while talking it dawned upon me the following point. Ke a person is standing on Qiyamah Day. I'm going to say it. There's the scale in front of you. Okay? And you stand there before your scale, you see now the good deeds are outweighed by the bad. You stand, if that is the scene a person witnessed, what will be his condition that time? Finish. It's a state of absolute hopelessness. In between, we are told by Allah's Nabi right through. Kiji? That have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Have hope in His mercy. No matter what wrong you have done, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and have hope that Allah will forgive you now and forgive you in the akhirah. But here is a person who stands before the scale, the way he looks at that, khatam. It's an absolute state of hopelessness. So we gather from one hadith that even in that condition there is still hope. Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi ta'ala writes, okay, on the day of Qiyamah, one person will experience this scenario. The good is outweighed by the bad. And now he's in a state of utter hopeless. Khalas, no way out now. Ab to main jaunga jahannam. And whilst he is still trying to get to terms what he sees there will appear suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi will put hand in the pocket, take out a small piece of paper, put that on the naked scale, other way around. This man will say, who are you? He said, I'm your Nabi. What was that? He said, remember a certain day, certain time with absolute sincerity and devotion, you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon me. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That reached me, and today I am using that to rescue from this situation. So my friends, the month of Shaban is here. Allah only knows whether you and I will make it to the month of Ramadan. We have to make dua ke Allah ta'ala take us there. That last point, quickly, and then inshallah we stop. What time do I stop? Okay, 2 minutes. Many brothers and sisters, mashallah, are preparing for what? Ramadan here too, and Ramadan in Makkah, Haramain, Sharifain. On that subject matter, I'll take 2 minutes, I'll make the khutbah short. Very important, because some of you know it, some of you don't know it. Now, many a people go to Makkah in Ramadan, Medina in Ramadan, they say, MashaAllah, the atmosphere, the Bahar is so nice. I want to change the attitude of the people. What is the objective to go there? Acha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came for Hajj first and last khatam. 5, 6, maybe 7 ladies, for reasons beyond their control, were unable to join him. They had the hope in the heart, inshallah, next year when our Nabi goes, we shall join him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now imagine yourself in Nabi's company going for Hajj. In fact, he made great intizam that people must join him. Now when he came back from the Hajj, they discovered from the message that he delivered there, this was the Nabi's last Hajj. After this, he's going to make mulaqat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they were very, very upset, very disappointed. Allahu Akbar, we missed a chance beyond our control. Now they were so upset regarding this, they came and said to him, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have lost out. Is there some way that we can make up for that loss? I tell you, no. If Allah is Arhamur Rahimin, then Muhammad is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. When there is a problem, there is always some solution to the problem. And he solved not only her problem, he saw their problem, but he solved the problem of the Ummah till Qiyamah Day. Because out there will be somebody in whose heart there will be the desire, okay, how I wish I at least made one Hajj with Nabi Kareem. So he told these ladies, okay, listen, when Ramadan comes, all of you go to Makkah Mu'azzama in Ihram from here and perform one Umrah in the month of Ramadan. Your performing Umrah in the month of Ramadan will be equal in value to performing Hajj with me. So Qiyamah tak ke liye maamla solve ho gaya. May Allah Ta'ala bless all those that are going, and those who haven't made intention, may they be inspired by this. Sunday, inshallah, the Al-Ansar has organized a Umrah seminar. Inshallah, yours truly will be the speaker there. We start at 2:30 at the Hartley Road School. So you are most welcome to attend, those who are going, and even those who are not going. Please pass the message to those who are going. If they're not aware to kindly attend the pro, inshallah, we shall give them some guidelines. And from the morning, the meningitis and yellow fever injections will be given. So please come and take advantage of this facility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy on us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a topic to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.